Hey, this is Rob Bunsbach, and welcome back to another edition of E-Heroes, for those keeping count. This is episode 403, and my next guest, we're going to talk about being resilient, you know, having that influence without losing yourself in the process. And my next guest is going to help you have this unshakable life. So I want to welcome Jim Burgoon.
Burgoon, yep.
And to the show, and thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Rob. And hey, listen, my name, very few people get it right, and you got it right. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see where this goes.
Everybody butchers my name. So I just, you know, it's just the way it is. But, you know, I went on your website, and you do a lot of faith-based, you know, teaching. And I think we need to have that coming back into society. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, I produced a book for a client called Boaz on Business, Building Multi-Generational Wealth During Chaotic Times. And, you know, he mixed a lot of the Old Testament of Boaz and Ruth into new teachings. Mm-hmm. And that book has sold like crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, I think people want that. They desire that faith-based, you know, impact in their lives.
They do.
And I think after COVID, people were lost. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's not even the people do desire that faith-based content. And one of the challenges is there are like three places that are marginalized in church that are not very rarely spoken to. And one of those is the entrepreneurial space. Mm-hmm. And so when you get people that are talking about like the biblical health of how to create wealth healthy according to biblical standards, people want that because it's life to them because it's not taught regularly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, you know, you also look on Facebook, YouTube, mm-hmm. and you see all the charlatans who are using faith to sell product.
Yeah.
And you know, and before I became, you know, a marketer, a coach, you know, years ago, I had a cleaning business. And, you know, everybody wanted a deal. And it, Rob, we're a Christian-based organization. Give us a discount. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, but I got to eat too.
Yeah.
You know, so there was that push and pull. And it's like, you know, okay, do I want to be, you know, that guy that just gives discounts to everybody? Or do I have to cut it off and say, look, you know, this is the reason I have a business. Yeah. And I can't just give discounts to everybody. And it gets tough because I think that the news media has made people of faith the bad people.
You know, as long as Christianity has been around, it has always been on the side of seen as the bad people because the world stands against Christianity. So this mm-hmm. is the world hates Jesus. It's just what it is. And so seeing the news perpetrate that and continue that should not be surprising to us. Where I think the challenge is, and you hit it so right, like there's a lot of charlatans out of there, there's a lot of things, but we need to go like one step down into the heart of some issues before we even get into the soapbox of the charlatan, because I could do a whole episode on that and how much that really just infuriates me. But there are two things I think in Christianity that we're not taught. Now, I wasn't a lifelong Christian. I was actually an atheist and a witch for about 15, 20 years before I was introduced to Christ. So I didn't grow up in the church. So I have coming out from the outside world looking in. And I've always said there are two major things that are not done in the church well. We, number one, don't teach about money well. Mm-hmm. Money has like this baggage and people will quote, you know, money's evil. No, the love of money's evil, but right. We're not going to teach people how to deal with their greed because that's not, you know, it doesn't feel good. But we need to get into the thing and number one, teach about money and the healthiness of money. Like, because quite frankly, you know, everybody wants to give and there's some really good hearted people in Christianity, but broke people can't help people. No matter, you know, you just can't. Like, you can have all the desire you want in the world, but your desire is not going to feed somebody.
Right.
So you need to build that. And the other thing is the shame and guilt around it. Like there's a lot of bad theology that all Christians need to be broke all the time. Now, not every Christian is going to be rich and that's okay as well. But not every Christian is going to be poor and that's okay as well. And then you bring into like the baggage of the shame and guilt Christians have about money. along with the shame and guilt that they've grown up with, you know, their own money stories in the house, whatever your parents taught you, put those together and it could be some toxic internal stories you're telling yourself.
Yeah, you know, and I know from experience, you know, being a churchgoer, looking at the finances of a church, you know, they'll tell you these stories. Like you said, you know, money is evil. Mm-hmm. Then they'll say, well, give us your money. You know, donate more.
Right.
Put us in your will. It's like, wait a minute. You're contradicting yourself. What's the deal?
Right.
You know?
And I think if I could interject too, because listen, and to your listeners and to everybody else, listen, just because it preaches well doesn't mean it's true. And I think that's something we really have to hit with what you're saying. Like, the contradiction is money is evil. Give us your money. Like, just because you've seen like 400 other preachers preach the same thing and now you're asking for it, like, just because it's preached good doesn't mean it's true. So we always have to double check in the Bible and make sure it's true.
You know, your whole thing though is you know, rational leadership for faith-driven leaders. And then you look at people like Elon Musk who have so much money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as an entrepreneur, I'm like, yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
You know, it gives me something to shoot for.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I'll never be a trillionaire. Maybe I'll never be a billionaire, but I still have that desire,
right,
to have money so that I can take vacations, retire, and do all this other stuff. But then you have all these people, well, you know, he's hoarding money. That money could be gone, you know, used to feed the world.
Right.
And then you look at it and go, yeah, but how much of that is actually going to be, you know, tied up in fraud or scam or, you know,
right,
is it actually going to get directed to the people who actually need it?
Right.
You know, so then they say, well, you know, leaders that have too much money are greedy. And mm-hmm. to me, we're going back to the whole church thing, you know, the love of money.
There is so much inconsistencies in people's, you know, lives. The same people that are screaming it's evil will be the same people that are silent when they get the money. And I think this is the challenge, and this is a heart condition, and why I think the world needs Jesus is because the heart is desperately wicked. Money is not wicked. It's our hearts. Like Elon, like everybody's like, hey, look at all the money he has. Like, you know, like 90%+ of his assets are tied up in something that's not liquid. Like he can't just write a check like that to feed the entire world. So it's number one, it's the misunderstanding of money and economics. Number two, it's a dark, jealous heart that people can't celebrate another person for the success. Instead of actually, like, they'll sit there and be like, well, I can't have it, so they can't have it. I can't enjoy it, so they shouldn't. Now, they would never say this out loud, but a lot of this is their trauma. A lot of this is their negative thinking starting to play out. Or it's also the herd mentality, as we call it, because we see it. Mm-hmm. Like, what you have this herd mentality out there where, you know, the group of people, you know, you can moniker anything you want. You can say liberals, conservative, whatever. But the reality is you have this group think, which is all saying the same thing because they sound virtuous and righteous. And the reality of it is they really don't hold an understanding of the way it works.
Yeah. And you know, I've over the course of my 30+ years as being an entrepreneur, I run into a lot of people, you know, leaders. Mm-hmm. And I can always tell the ones that are faith-driven, you know, they want to be a good leader, a servant leader. Then you have others that they don't care. They don't care if you're there for 5 minutes or 25 years.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I wish they'd all just take a course and have how to be a servant leader because, but, you know, this is the world. You know, we're going to have all different types of personality.
You know, it is. But even in the different types of personality, like servant leadership, it doesn't matter how many courses you take, it can't change your heart. Yeah, and I think that's going to be hugely important, especially relational leadership, is simply because, yeah, personality does play it. I'm a DISC certified trainer, so it's like it does play into it. Like your high Ds are going to have the tendency to try to treat people as tools to complete things, but that's not all high D leaders. You know, those driven people that we think of that are leaders. Mm-hmm. But the reality of it is you can't teach somebody to be a servant. Somebody's heart has to want to serve. And out of that heart of service, they become a servant. And then they're a servant leader. Like, there has to be a heart transformation. And a lot of people get in there, and you're right, they don't. They don't care. You're just a number in the cog of the machine to fill out the whatever their quotas are trying to be. But that's where it's not leadership. It's not. It's really kind of just driven this machine, this thing, instead of actually being like, leadership is about the people, and it's about taking the people to a desired destination together.
Yeah, you know, I like there's a little segment on your website, and you talk about leaders carrying vision and responsibility.
Yeah,
and to me, that's what it's all about. We have, absolutely. And you know, I wrote a book a couple years ago called Legacy. And it's not always about the money you leave behind, but it's about, you know, how you want people to remember you as, you know, were you this evil, vindictive person, or were you this caring person, you know, who, you know, really wanted to, you know, make the community better.
Right.
And that's what leaders are supposed to do. Carry that vision so it goes beyond them.
Yeah. It's generational. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that, because of social media, because of news outlets, we don't talk about multi-generational. We don't talk about, you know, responsibility anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, even with that, so the news. Let's just hit the news for the second. News is all agenda-driven, and I was thinking about this morning. It's emotional triggers on people's trauma to produce the agenda that they want, period. And we can sit there and you can fake news, not fake news. That they're trying to sell you a product is mm-hmm. what it is. At the end of the day, they're here to make money. They don't care about you. They don't care about your delicacies, your sensibilities or nothing. They care about their product and they care about they make money. And negativity sells. Mm-hmm. So if they can hit enough emotional triggers and it hits your emotional spots and your negativity, you'll watch and you can't turn your eyes from it. That's why, like, all the drama is there, and they love the drama, and we can't turn the drama off. And so, like, that's with that. And even with social media, again, everybody's posting according to how they want you to see them, not what is true. Mm-hmm. There are some that are out there that are trying to be authentic and trying to post what's true. But let's just get real. We're very afraid to throw ourselves out there because we're going to be throwing ourselves to the wolves. Like, go on TikTok and say something that most people don't like, and you're getting death threats, and you're getting all these things inside your comment section because whatever. But that's the reality of it is we have to, like, weigh all that out. And we have to either, A, decide to live in character and say, irregardless of what I'm going to get, I'm going to be somebody who's character-driven. And I'm going to have to use the tools, because we do have to use the tools like social media, but I'm not going to be, that's not my identity. That's not going to be driving me. That's not going to be my addiction, because you know full well, many of us are addicted to social. Mm-hmm. If we become less addicted and more character, how much more transformation and impact could we actually have?
Yeah. You know, I know over the years, I've read people's posts and I'm thinking, okay, do I want to respond? Mm-hmm. And instinctively I'm like, yeah, I'm going to just jump in there, write, you know, a couple scathing paragraphs of why I'm right, they're wrong.
Yep.
And then it's like, you know, what's this going to serve? You know, so I just move on, scroll to something else. Yeah.
Most people, no arguments have ever been won in a Facebook comments.
No. But you know, you mentioned about throwing it out. And you started this coaching program, you know, but you're now throwing it out to others. You're creating this impact. Mm-hmm. But how did it start?
How far back do you want to go? That's a great question. I mean, like, how did it start? So my journey is a really crazy journey. When I was a kid, so like I'm 10, 11, 12 years old. This is in the 80s, man. And so I remember I felt called to be an entrepreneur. I really did. And I had three different businesses. Now, I'm from Philadelphia. And so my first business is we went down to the pretzel factory. We spent 10 bucks, got 100 pretzels plus or however many we got back then. And we would walk around in a milk crate, yelling fresh pretzels, and we would sell out and we would make a lot of money back, and we would do it each week. I mean, could you imagine like a 10-year-old with $30 and penny candy existed back then?
Not in
Like
Philadelphia.
it's just, yeah, it was just like crazy. Like this was great money back then. Later on, I started a second one by selling said candy in schools because that was another thing. And then the third one was I started this thing because I hate it. I was allergic to bees at the time, and I Ghostbusters just came out, so I created a business called Bee Busters. And so our whole job was to destroy the neighborhood bees and get paid for it. So, ever since I was young, I had these things. And then I'll be honest with you, like I went through a lot of different trauma, a lot of different challenges. And there was somewhere around age 14, I just ran from my life. I just ran. I decided because of the abuse, because of the trauma, I didn't want to participate in my life anymore. I did try to unalive myself a couple times during that year, during that time. But when I say I ran, I mean I gave up business, I gave up life. I survived and I ended up going in the military, getting my degree, getting my master's degree, and just completely not doing anything that I was called to, not doing anything that I wanted to. Matter of fact, I ran so far, I became an atheist. I practiced witchcraft. It wasn't until in my 20s that I find Jesus, but it was in my 30s where I became a church planner. And as a church planner, I was reminded of what it was to be an entrepreneur. And everything started flooding back. And this is 30 years later almost. Everything started flooding back. And then I started getting therapy and healing. And in 2017, we stepped down from the church. We were called out as pastors. We were like, God's like, you're done. And my wife was very sick. So she was basically in our hearts, we heard, if you don't do this, your wife will not make it, because my wife deals with some mental illness. So suicide and thing is a big deal in this household. And so stepped down. She ended up in the hospital for 6 months. I couldn't get a job. I got back an entrepreneur and I became a freelancer in 2017 for multiple years. Like whatever you wanted, I did. Anything. You want a funnel built? Sure, I figured it out. I even went to the 2018 Funnel Hacker Live. I don't even know how I got tickets, but I got tickets and I went. And and I just started gaining skills and skills combined with the church planning skills. And then it just came into I started coaching because I've been a coach my whole life. Didn't realize you can get paid for that. Been a speaker for 20 years prior to that. Didn't realize you could get paid for that too. So I've been in this journey of really trying to shift into, okay, I can get paid for things that I'm really good at, I'm gifted at, and God's kind of leading me there while also leaving that freelancer behind. But then I'll just say this, then in 2022, everything shut down because in 2023, I lost my mom, my sister, my father-in-law, and almost my wife. My mom and my sister, we talked in the pre-show, cancer. My father-in-law, freak accident, and my wife tried to unalive herself because of the stress of all of that. And so 23 and 24 was completely a wash. I just made it through. 25, tw late 24, my podcast starts. 25, recovering, starting to coach again. Now in 26, websites up, podcast, starting a second podcast. I'm a published author, so forth and so on. And now I have no longer a freelancer. Now I have coaching and speaking as my primary
And
offers.
I want to interrupt you for a second and just talk to my audience. What Jim is showcasing is the experience that he learned along the way. And as entrepreneurs, you'll notice that, for me, I had a cleaning business for 19 years. I've had Unspoc Marketing for 25 years. All that experience, all those stories helped, with all the books that I've published or produced for others. It helps with the videos that I put out there. It helps with the blog articles. Everything that you do in life is a lesson that you can utilize to help teach somebody else. And so, yes, it's traumatic. Yes, it's overwhelming and frustrating. But you lived through it. And now you have this ability to showcase it to somebody else.
Yeah, no pain is wasted that can be leveraged. None. I mean, we can either wallow as a victim in it, or we can leverage it to help someone else.
You know, and my philosophy is I don't want to help a million people. I know that a lot of there's a lot of entrepreneurs out there, and they say, "Oh, I want to help a million people." My goal is to help one person a day. That's it. You know, here's the thing. You have, we're all told to have these big, hairy, audacious goals. That's great. But a million people is a lot of people.
Yeah.
By focusing on one person a day, I know not only have I achieved my goal, but it's going to create a ripple effect. And that person's going to help another person. That person's going to help another. And eventually, those ripples may serve a million people, but me physically helping them, no. Focus on one person at a time.
Yeah, I think John Maxwell actually said, I don't know where he got the statistic, but he said even the most introverted of people will influence over 100,000 people over the course of their life.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm 100% behind the ripple effect thing. So love that, yeah.
So, you know, let's go into your speaking, because I know that's a big thing right now. You know, companies are hiring speakers. You know, do you have a problem when people say, you know, I'm really interested in the faith-based stuff, but I want to hear you speak. Do you get that?
Oh yeah, sometimes I get that, but the reality of it is I tell them I'm not coming to give you a Bible lesson, but just realize that faith is so ingrained in me, I will mention it. It's not going to be like, we're not going to sit here and break the Bible down, because that's not what I'm being hired for, but it just comes out of me. So you're going to get that. So if you don't want that even mentioned, then I'm not your guy, and I'm okay with that. That I had that problem when I was teaching high school. Like, they were anti-faith, but I was actually in an observation with the principal, and somebody got an answer right. I got so excited. I was like, praise God, man, that's awesome. Yeah. Never got a word said to me.
Yeah. And here's the thing is that faith means different things to different people. You know, you can be a Christian, you can be a Catholic, you could be, you know, Jewish, you could, whatever your faith is, you know, you can intertwine it into your speaking. Maybe it offends somebody. Maybe, you know, whatever faith that you're sharing enlightens somebody to the point where they're going to take some action.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, if you know, being a Christian, if I hear someone talk about, you know, something from, you know, Jewish or whatever, I'm going to say, well, that was great. I learned something new. But yes, there are people out there that are, oh, my faith is so much better than yours.
Yeah, they are.
Stop it.
There's so many elitists out there, dude. It's just it's so annoying.
You know, it's like, just sit back and relax. I mean, I don't like this whole my God is better than your God thing. We live in a small world. The world gets smaller every day. Because we have technology that can reach out and help other people. But
yeah, I'm not a big fan of the contest of who got, you know, all that stuff. I just know that Christ is the only way to heaven, and that's what I preach, and that's what I talk about. Yeah. And is it going to offend people? Yeah, absolutely. But I'm not here to debate 6 years of all this. I'm just here to say, hey, listen, here's what my experience was. Here's what the Bible says. You get the choice of whether you like that or not. If you don't like it, great. We can still be friends.
Yeah. And to understand your story of being agnostic, being, you know, a witch, being all these things that society says you can't be, that that's offensive. You know, but now you've gone through a conversion and say, look, this is what I believe. And this is why I believe it. And this is what I want to teach you to be better than yourself.
Right.
And to me, that's an awesome origin story. You know, you took all this drama, you took all this, and you made it into something better. You know?
Yeah, well, God was definitely a help and a lead in that, man, because if it was up to my own devices, I don't know where I would be today.
But, you know, you came out of it stronger. You know, they say, I guess they say, some people say, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. But
yeah, they say that, but I say what doesn't kill you gives you dark humor.
Yeah, so. It does. You know, and I'm very sarcastic, and people are like, wow, I don't really understand your sarcasm. Well, then you won't be a good client. So.
Right.
Yeah, so, but let's talk about, you know, there's a lot of stuff on your website that I think could help people. You know, you got your podcast, you got your blogs, you got your newsletters. It's a lot of content.
Yep. Sure is. But you know what? I enjoy it. Like I love writing. I love recording. And it's all to help people. Like I do it because I'm trying to meet people where they are. And with the option of, hey, listen, if you want to hire me, I'm here to be hired, you know. But regardless, I'm going to help you either way. Like there are certain demands. If you demand too much of my time, then yeah, I'm going to send you an invoice. But listen, I got tons of free stuff. I've got my podcast is over episode 100. I'm about to release a solo podcast. I've got my book, my blog that's being updated and being redone. And then, you know, all the other stuff I do on socials, plenty of content out there that my YouTube channel, plenty of content out there that I do weekly for people to consume. Mm-hmm. You know, and then if they want to take that extra step, because the difference is knowledge is free. The The implementation of it requires, you know, us to work together so that we can basically design it for you and to go and actually do the things that you want to do.
You know, in every podcast, it's usually me making a mistake.
Hey, listen, I'll take the hit. Like I made the mistake today. So we're good.
You know, so how do people find you? Where do they go?
So you can go to leadwithjim.com. All the things are on there, everything you just mentioned. You know, and of course, on any social, it's Lead with Jim. I'm on generally YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. You know, those are my main platforms. Podcast, you know, leadwithjim.com is the best place to go.
You know, and I want to give a shout out to, I think you were referred to me by Joe Graham.
Yes.
You saw Joe's podcast when I interviewed him. And, you know, Joe's got some interesting views on things and I encourage anybody who, if you have somebody that you know that has an interesting background, interesting story, bring them on. I'll interview them, put them on the podcast because I love stories like Jim's. I like, you know, the conversion stories. I like the origin stories. I like how entrepreneurs want to go out there and lead people. You know, and not just this guru type crap, because you know I don't like gurus. I've written about them before. I like average everyday heroes who want to come on here and teach others. You know, so I want to thank Jim for being here, and you know, we got a few minutes. Is there any last words that you want to share with the audience?
First and foremost, thanks for having me on. It's a great conversation and great to be connected with you. You know, wisdom-wise, if you want any wisdom, have self-compassion. You're not as bad as you think you are. Grow because you're not where you need to be. And to take every day to be intentional with your time, your talent, your treasures, and all your actions, because intentionality wins. Wishing and desiring does not.
And I'll leave you with that. So if you missed it, rewind, listen to it again, because that's some important nuggets right there. So thank you, everybody. We'll see you guys on the next episode.